Ladies and gentlemen, it's time for the main event. Welcome everybody to
Monk If You Love Wrestling Podcast.
Introducing first,
being accompanied by his best friend from wherever, weighing whatever, freshly squeezed,
T.B.C.
And now,
the best in the world, Mr.
Rizzo.
Bienvenue sur le Honk If You Love Wrestling Audio à la demande. Cette semaine, Monsieur Rizzo, TBZ et toi, RB, parlons de la lutte professionnelle. Commençons les spectacles!
Oui, oui!
That was so much fun! Un backlash!
Woo-wee, boys and girls, we are riding high off of this latest WWE PLE, a backlash.
I know it was a long time ago, but it was amazing, and we're still here to talk about it.
Le backlash de Lyon.
Yeah, I wish I can do that so well. RB, that was amazing. Great introduction with the French. Like I said, maybe we can pull that off when they're in Germany in a few months. I don't know.
But it was a good...
You're coming off the Honk If You Love Wrestling podcast!
But you know, it's a good way to show the honkers at home that this is how I felt about this pay-per-view. I loved how all the chants were practically in French. You know, like they did the counting for the pinfalls and stuff in French. And it was just... It was refreshing because it had the same, like, cadence. But it was just... I was like, I don't recognize these words!
I actually really liked the when they were they did the "This is awesome" chant in English, but you could hear it was with a French accent. And I gotta tell you, got me a little hot under the collar.
You're just like, who's wrestling now? I'm so confused. Where am I?
But yeah, that was a lot of fun.
How y'all doing? I just realized I didn't check in with y'all, RB and Mr. Rizzo.
We're
flying high. You heard us singing.
That's true.
That's how we're doing.
All right, then why don't we just jump right into it then? I was trying to be cordial and do a little, housekeeping and whatnot, but...
Absolutely, doing good. Enjoyed Le Backlash. Enjoyed a very wrestling-heavy Monday Night Raw. Enjoyed a... Man, you know what?
The queen, baby, it's here.
I'll tell you one thing. You know what was so refreshing about the French crowd? After how bad the crowd was in Winnipeg, and it was much better in Edmonton.
All this crowd talk last week, and then they're like, oh, you want to talk about crowds, huh? All right, let's talk about crowds.
Let's talk about good crowds.
I know it's... couldn't hear anybody in Gorilla for how loud the crowd was, I heard. That's kind of how nuts that was.
I've seen the clip, I've watched it 100 times, between AJ's entrance and Cody's entrance, when they're doing the phenomenal chant, and they're doing it so loud that the hard cam is shaking, it's bouncing up and down, it's perfect. Yeah.
More it's like every, bouncy it's, cam, not so hard
it's
cam.
It's all I ever wanted.
You know what I'm saying?
I mean, I was turgid for it, but... But I digress. What did you guys think of Backlash?
Let's hop right in. I mean, the first note I have on it is that the crowd... You know what? As high as we're riding off of this, I just want to say... I feel bad. Because we just don't deserve wrestling. We as the American audience don't... We deserve to have it ripped away from us for like a couple of months and be like, no. You'll get it back when you've shown that you can be, you know, respectful and, you know, show it the light that it needs, you know, just the time that it needs. And just because this crowd was just out of control. I'm just going to jump ahead. During Cody's entrance, I got chills when I heard them, like, go quiet for his intro. Because, like, with the American crowd, you get that just, like, that low roar where it's like, yeah, Cody's coming out, we're all going to do shit, and, like, people are still talking. But it was just dead silent. I was like, man, they're really in this. They are. holding on to every note, every word, just every pinfall. It was great.
Just in particular with one wrestler, I would say, I don't think I've ever heard the crowd sing Randy Orton's music.
I've never.
Oh, that was crazy.
That was, I mean, super, that's it right, like, there. That was the top for me. Like, because they have done other people, and you get a hint of it here and there. No one's ever done that. That was cool.
That was especially cool because versus AJ's reaction, because AJ was the heel, where he only could really react to it afterwards on Twitter. You know, Kevin Owens and Randy Orton were like clearly blown the fuck away by it.
In that, yeah. KO being so able to speak with his fellow, you know, because he's French Canadian, he can speak French as well. Oh, he loved every minute.
What? Kevin Owens is French Canadian.
He is it?
He is. I'm messing with you.
Thought it was wrong. You were messing with me.
No, I was messing with you.
You got worked.
you got worked. I honestly, the cool thing, like you were saying with Cody's entrance, it was like there was a huge cheer after the mic check thing, and then it was silent for like, wrestling has more than one royal family, and then it was relatively quiet, and then as soon as the lyrics cut in, it was so loud. And somehow it got that much larger and louder for the whoa that I didn't think was possible.
Yep. Like, yeah, it was a great crowd. I was just like, man, this is, take note. Take note. This is what you got. This is how a wrestling crowd should be.
To be fair to American and Canadian fans, there is it is a different situation when you have like one big event and it's literally the first time you've ever had like a PLE / pay-per-view for the biggest company in the world in your country. Like, Perth was not, like, Super Showdown happened, so it wasn't the first thing in Australia, but they don't see it often.
Right. And
a lot of like the singing and stuff is a very like European
soccer culture, soccer baby thing.
They know that's exactly what I thought chance of. Yep.
And it's something that you see specifically in the Raw after WrestleMania, when there are a lot of people from around the world and everyone is on vacation and they're fucking pumped. They haven't just like had to go through traffic after a day at work.
Yeah.
like most crowds going to a regular Monday Night Raw would be.
Yeah. And I knew that. Like, that's obviously, these crowds don't get wrestling that often, which is again why I'm saying like we deserve it to get taken away. So that we can feel the sting of its absence. So when it comes back, we'll be more mindful. We'll be more respectful. It won't be about us. It'll be about the wrestling.
And the thing about it is, though, like, I want to acknowledge that part. But also, like, anytime you see any, like, big, like, Rev Pro show, like, any of the big English shows, the crowds are maybe not this loud because it's not a full-sized arena packed to the gills. But they are loud and they are doing these chants. And for the most part, they're not taking away from what's going on. We'll talk a little bit later about Edmonton Oilers chants during Serena Deeb's admittedly bad promo.
But well, yeah. Why don't we dig into this pay-per-view? We've been talking just generally about it and what we thought. What about the first match? I believe that was the Bloodline versus RKO.
As Kevin Owens explained to us, I believe, on SmackDown when they were in France, K is pronounced Ka. So when they were came out, they were saying Ka-O, Ka-O, Ka-O. And I thought that was pretty funny. That was pretty cool on SmackDown. But yeah, I was hot for the match. They had a nice little angle with making it a like no DQ match real quick, which we didn't know about before the match started. So I thought that was pretty good. I thought that was pretty fun.
Just as a little thing that I thought was really cool, and I will keep putting this over because it is the coolest thing since WrestleMania. The last week on Dynamite, there was a part where Stokely Hathaway gets banned from ringside, and he's like, why is this happening to me except for as a consequence of my own actions? That is Paul Heyman's character right now. What have I done? And the opening shot when Solo Sikoa's music hits, the stadium pitch black. you see Solo and Tama in the foreground in silhouette with red light behind them. So you just see the outline of them. But way in the background, so you could actually see his face, you could see Paul Heyman standing behind them, looking like, what have I done? Why am I here? Where is my tribal chief?
He just misses his tribal chief, as we all do. Let's get real.
Paul Heyman's work through this is really doing so much work. And
why is the goat?
It is. Also, there was a really cool. So after the entrances, it was just a pull apart. Like, they were fighting. There was no bell. There were punching producers, throwing referees. Security is getting their asses kicked in France. And then Nick Aldis comes out, and like Nick Aldis is I love Adam Pearce, but Nick Aldis is like, oh, that's a general manager in a wrestling show. But yeah, I thought it was so cool that when Solo set Randy up for it, like, this is kind of right towards the end of the match, but it was just such a cool and painful looking spot. So Solo has Randy set up on top of the announce table for the Samoan Spike, which of course means that Solo got hit with an RKO out of nowhere. That announce table did not break.
No, it did not.
That was, ooh, that looked hard.
I mean, that's been happening with Randy's RKOs too. They just don't break the table.
But usually it's like, you know, it's almost like they like have like a lock on there that they take off the lock so it can fall.
Sure.
But yeah,
I'm saying they haven't even been doing that. Like, I mean, yeah. I show speed at WrestleMania. Didn't break the thing.
Maybe it's just that they're not, you know, they want to show the viciousness of the attacks more.
I think they're just not positioned properly. They're not hitting it the right way for it to cascade down. Because, I mean, who goes to an announce desk spot and doesn't want it to go off?
That's totally true. And then
that could just be me, but anytime I see that, I'm like, this better fucking blow up in a million pieces. So you're just like, oh my God, an hellacious attack.
You want the table to shatter unless you are in Japan, where the fact that the tables are hard as rocks is what they're selling.
You literally go through them and get stuck.
The big surprise from this show, KO is in position to get the win, and who do you see but Tama Tonga? No, Tonga Loa coming up from under the ring, kind of, and pulling the referee out. We did see some footage that showed that the ref basically pulled himself out of the ring because Tonga was a little bit slow, but... Big reveal for the newest member of the Bloodline, and for Paul Heyman to look even more upset.
How many more Bloodline members are we going to introduce?
At least
I'd
one.
Say at least one.
Jacob Fatu has signed. I drafted him.
You did. But it's just like, that was my reaction to this. I was like, oh, look, another one. I'm not even used to Tonga yet. Like, I don't feel
his
like
name's I've seen too, but it's his last name instead of his first name. But they're brothers. Oops.
And I'm just putting this out here now. I told you guys this in group chat. When I hear his name, I'm just like, oh man, they're gonna hit him with the Tonga trucks.
Which members used to be the Gorillas of Destiny?
Tama Tonga and Tonga Loa.
Is there any chance that they would be known, or we would get that music?
Were they a trio or a duo?
No, it's a tag team that were won in New Japan. And I think it's one of the hottest.
Guerrilla Warfare, which is the name of that track, fucking slaps.
It is. If the only is in the U.S., it is. Everyone's like, what the fuck is this? These guys are awesome. It's just the fact that no one's really heard it played here. Besides, I mean, and some people when they've gone to California for a New Japan show for the. But still.
Not on Fox or USA.
Ain't nobody ready in Gorilla. Like, that's my favorite thing. It's my favorite thing.
It's so the difficulty is that in New Japan, the Gorillas of Destiny became a faction instead of. So the Gorillas of Destiny, the tag team, was Tama Tonga and Tonga Loa, who were a part of the Bullet Club. the Guerrillas of Destiny, the faction, after Tama Tonga was kicked out of Bullet Club, and then after that, when El Phantasmo was and Hikaleo were then kicked out of Bullet Club for trying to take over, the Guerrillas of Destiny, the faction began. I don't know what they're doing.
I just like how we're talking so much New Japan, and it has nothing to do with AEW. It has to do with WWE. That is just cool. That's my thing. Yeah. I like it. I'm liking it. Anyway, we don't have to get lost in Guerrillas. Maybe we'll get lucky. I'll play it for you, TBZ, so you can hear that entrance later. It's awesome.
Yeah, I was just going to say that I wish I saw more of a Tommy Tonga like wrestling. I feel like he just got introduced. He's in this pay-per-view, and now we got another Bloodline member to deal with. And I'm like, okay, cool. I'm just going to blend these. They're going to like morph together as one person to me because they got introduced so like quickly.
I do got to ask, TBZ, what is his name?
Tommy Tonga?
Tama.
Tama. And I was like, that is a lot different wrestler.
Okay.
Tommy Tonga.
Tama Tonga. Got it.
Hey, my name is Tommy Tonga. Tommy. Work for the Don.
It's a different wrestler. Hey, he could be with the family.
He could be with the family.
And the Consumer Area and Adriana.
That's Rizzo. Two now we're going to have to introduce into the Bloodline.
Gabagool.
Yes.
All right. A fine start to Backlash, and the crowd was in it. Next up, we've got a triple threat for the women's heavyweight champ or the women's world championship. I forget which one it is.
I believe it is the WWE Women's Championship because it was the SmackDown one.
Bayley versus Naomi versus Tiffany Stratton. Is it Tiffy time?
It is always Tiffy time.
Maybe not this time, though, as Naomi and Bayley seem to have a chip on their shoulder from their one-on-one that got interrupted by Tiffy time. I'm just saying, I like the double team from time to time, where they both kind of were just like, fuck this bitch, am I right? Yeah, well, let's fight each other.
I like that they didn't go super hard into that, though, because it would have been like, there was always the risk that it was going to become...
That's what I loved about it. It was just the right amount. It wasn't dominating the match. It was just like, hey, it was. Well,
because conversely, when they did that at WrestleMania with the Randy and Kevin Owens and Logan Paul match.
Get out of my brain. I was just thinking that.
That was the story. And it was great. And that there was a little bit of that here was also great. I loved when. Tiffy tried to steal the move on them and then they hit her with the 1D or the 3D because they're not Usos. Well, but maybe still, Naomi, so maybe it is a 1D. I don't know.
That's what I was going to say. Naomi's got a connection to the 1D, so I feel like it might have been. Either way, it was cool that they made that homage to the Usos. I was like, well done, ladies.
I wouldn't call it an homage to the Usos, but it could. There's storyline there if they ever do want to do the Bloodline. Naomi angle. TBZ.
Sorry, I was letting you finish there. My one note on this match was, and I mean, this is, you know, after the match, after I've watched it and stuff like that, it reminded me that, you know, you all were like, oh, TBZ's going to be super pumped that Naomi's back. And I just felt like I wasn't as excited as you guys thought I would be. And this was why, because did we really expect Naomi to win this match? Do we expect Bayley to lose the belt here? And that was it.
I was hoping that we could have gotten a Tiffy time or a Tiffany epiphany, and then Bayley and
Tiffany epiphany.
Okay, but thank you for proving my point. You're not even talking about Naomi, which is the context of this point that I'm making, which is why I wasn't.
It was getting between a wedge between Bayley and Naomi, but they weren't.
So she can go on a heel run to go for another belt and hopefully win that one. Like, here's the problem. This is why I'm not excited, because Naomi isn't going to do that. Now she's going to go back to the end of the line and maybe fight somebody who needs somebody to fight a bar, basically. She's a bar right now. And that's why I wasn't excited that she was back, because that's how I saw her fitting into the female division right now in WWE. Yeah. And this match, I mean, kind of showed it. Like, it. Not that she was bad, but it just, like, I didn't feel, I wasn't sold on Naomi winning. I was just like, I don't feel like she's going to win this. I feel like it's them going to edge out Stratton, and then it's going to be a one-on-one, and it'll be like, this was the one-on-one match we were supposed to have, and Bayley won because she's a champion.
I'm not sure what the next direction is for that championship. Damage Control is fully off of SmackDown. They've been drafted to Raw. And, you know, Liv Morgan also on Raw doing pegging Dominic Mysterio, stealing her from Liv Morgan or from Rhea Ripley. As
we don't know what happened in that
we
room.
Know
okay,
what's happening?
Dom could have said, "I'm not interested," because Mommy would be really furious, and then she left in a.
Did you see that Liv Morgan had his bandana in her pocket?
Yeah, she probably stole it so people like you would say that.
I think
it's the revenge tour. She'll do anything, whatever it takes.
Regardless, I think there's some potential for Naomi to come back from this and still be like the program going into Jeddah. Is she in the Queen of the Ring bracket? All I know about the SmackDown bracket is that Bobby Lashley was in it and now he is not.
Yeah, what happened? Because isn't Mr. Rizzo's note here about Bobby Lashley?
He is apparently injured and is being pulled from the King of the Ring tournament.
Was quick.
Yeah. Well,
who's?
I mean, that's the.
But wait, I guess I don't think that what I was excited for had anything to do with the bracket for the King of the Ring. I liked his interaction with Carmelo Hayes. I don't think that's who he was facing on the bracket if he was wrestling. I was just like, oh,
no,
those two guys are going to maybe, you know, and go at each other. Okay, I'll see how that is.
He had drawn Tama Tonga and is being replaced by not Montez Ford, the other member of the Street
Profits. Come on, Brian Dawkins.
Right, listen.
Angelo Dawkins.
I did that on purpose just to mess with you.
Listen. Montez Ford should be a huge single star right now, and the ball was dropped. That's all I'm saying. And it is unfortunate that in the moment I couldn't remember.
Let me take this a different way.
Hold on. It is unfortunate that in the moment I could not remember Angelo Dawkins' name. That being said, Mr.
It happens.
With the speculation that we have of this tournament, do you think that Bobby Lashley, or as we like to call him, Bubbles, is actually not cleared for this particular match, or he did not want to take a loss against Tama Tonga?
I don't know.
That's his first match, right?
It was the first match. It's very interesting. It is his first singles match. His first match was the tag match that we just talked about.
Who? Tama?
Tama. Yeah. I think it's really interesting because, and we're still trying to talk about Backlash, but there were a lot of guys, people who were promoted to be in the tournament who pulled out. Asuka was scheduled to be in the tournament, was replaced by Dakota Kai because of the same injury that she was not fully, that she was, we'll talk about it later. You know, she had been hurt before WrestleMania. And like, that was the talk, and that this is just like, you know what? We've gotten the titles off of them. We can let Asuka rest.
Let her rest, heaven blessed.
Anyway.
Yeah, I guess so.
Let's get on to the World Heavyweight Championship. Damian Priest. Defending versus against Jey Uso. Listen.
Jey's intro was phenomenal. And I don't mean AJ Styles.
We're going to have to do it every time.
No, we don't. Yeah. It is unfair to say this, but Jey Uso is less over than his intro. I don't think he's a bad wrestler. I don't think that it's his fault. But, like, he's the biggest baby face on Monday Night Raw. He's like the fourth biggest baby face on Monday Night Raw.
Name the first.
Cody.
Sami Zayn.
Yeah, I'd go with Cody over Sammy.
Cody's not on Raw.
Shit.
Cody's the...
Shit! Damn it, Mr. Rizzo, you fucked with me.
I lose.
You're right. Sami Zayn. No, yeah, you're right.
Sami Zayn is the what number one true babyface. Though we hate to say it, CM Punk is the number two babyface.
I think I know who number one is actually.
Who's the actual number one?
Not number two. He's third at best.
Number one, I will give you a hint, is a national treasure.
R-Truth.
There you go.
Bing, bing, bing.
Right now, I think he might be the ultimate babyface. I mean, Cody's not there. It's the only reason, because Cody's not there. Sorry, I'm just joking. Go ahead. Let's go. So let's keep going.
This match was fine. It felt as mid as all of Damian Priest's reign has felt because they're not. That's not a Damian Priest problem. That's a booking problem. Like, it just.
Well, they're
just
trying to fix that with Jey Uso right now.
No, Jey Uso is mid at best.
What are you talking about? He's the number one babyface.
He's not. Just because Cody says it's true, I don't feel him, sir.
Would you say would you say no yeet to that then?
I would say no yeet to that, indeed.
I do like that they got that. Then they were actually like yeet, no yeet.
I mean, like I looking forward to the Monday Night Raw afterwards. So he has his King of the Ring match against Finn Balor. His spear is the most garbage spear I've ever seen. I love
you. Really gonna ruin my day like that, reminding me the fact that Finn Balor can't fucking beat Jey Uso to save his goddamn life? That's like the fourth time this month he's lost to the man.
Not only that,
he has to turn demon. That's what he has to do.
So, okay. So the Judgment Day. Demons. So to get back to Backlash before I keep shitting on Jey Uso for a little bit.
Yeah. Jey Uso versus Priest. What you got?
Damian Priest wins the Judgment Day.
It was an anticlimactic finish. I was like, was really? Kind of, that's it?
It was kind of an anticlimactic finish. After the finish, JD and Finn get into the ring and start beating up Jey Uso. And Damian Priest flipped on him. Like, fucking stop it. Celebrate me.
Uh-oh, what's going to happen to JD? Except probably nothing, because they've done this so many times before. They're like, oh, they're going to break up, and they somehow find a way to get back in a good
The first good segment on Raw was like, hey, I got carried away. Just fucking break up already. Like, don't
why? No, why? Don't, Judgment Day's crushing it. You don't need to break them up.
The sex is too good. They're not breaking up yet.
See, exactly.
Then don't do the storyline this way where you have forward progression of the story and then it sets back to zero for no reason.
No. TBZ. I got you. And I made note of this. Yes, Damian Priest held the belt up wrong. That's the story here. He is showing us that he is not going to be a great champion because he can't hold the belt up correctly. Do you know what I mean?
That's Cody's story. The story has been... this feels uncomfortable. This belt is bigger. It's not like that. That's
no. I just meant like, so when champions go to hold up the belts, when they hold it up wrong, it becomes the Miz belt. And that's what right. Damian Priest did. It was the Miz belt. I'm like, ooh, that was the thing I loved about Roman. He took so long and you'd see him. He sits there and looks at the belt. Cause he's like, I got to show that this is the fucking WWE belt to make sure I hold this upright. And Damian did. So that way, that's how you know. It's like the Groundhog Day thing. If they don't hold the belt upright the first time, that's how you know they're not going to have a long reign.
I just... it makes me... I love Damian Priest so fucking much. And in every press conference and in every... Like,
he's
going
sexy.
going on TV in England, he's in his suit. He looks fabulous.
Oh, yeah.
And the story that they're telling on the TV show is that he can't get these fuckasses. And I'm saying this about Finn Balor, my favorite wrestler. But the story is these people.
Excuse me, that's Willow Nightingale.
So then, okay. So fast forward back to Raw. So in the King of the Ring, Jey Uso has a terrible match, as always, with Finn Balor. And because of Drew McIntyre, who Jey Uso took the spot of because Drew McIntyre is hurt, and the less we talk about the terrible CM Punk segment, the better. We had the opportunity. Listen.
Yeah.
I heard CM Punk. I perked up. Anyway.
The other match in this part of the bracket was Ilya Dragunov versus Ricochet. And
that's number two. You're really fucking pissing me off with these goddamn. Yeah. Ricochet can't catch a fucking break.
Hold on. Ricochet looked so good.
Yeah.
And Ilya Dragunov. You should have
won. Whoa, I'm going to speak up for Ricochet here. Of you saying he can't catch a break. Do you see who his girlfriend is?
Okay, so he can never get a belt because he's got a hot girlfriend? Like, what the fuck, man?
Listen, Just saying he caught a break.
In his career as a wrestler.
His real-life romantic success, better than...
That's karma, baby. That's karma right there. He's got to dump her to become the champion. That's clearly what Mr. Rizzo's saying.
But here's the... But listen,
he won, put that out there, Mr. Rizzo.
TBZ, he is the speed champion. Put some respect on your own boy's name.
That's why they didn't give him this win. They were all like, well, we just gave him the speed belt, so I guess why would he give it another win? I mean,
here's my problem.
Milk this for forever.
Here's my problem. That match was so good, and they both looked so great. And Ricochet can only move upward from there, while putting over Ilya Dragunov means we're probably going to get Gunther versus Ilya Dragunov in the Raw finale.
No. Hear me out. Wait. Go on.
The thing that I got worked up about is Jey Uso is an injury replacement for Drew McIntyre. We could have had Ilya Dragunov versus Finn Balor. And that we were denied that makes me so fucking angry. We could have had Finn Balor versus Ricochet. That would have honked too.
But Ricochet is a good replacement for Finn Balor. Because like you said, he honked in this match. And that's what pissed me off most about this match. Is Ricochet looked like the guy who should have fucking won this match, and we got Ilya Dragunov.
He was fine,
but he didn't shine. He was just like, hey, I'm just countering.
I fucking loved the way that Dragunov looked in this match.
Ricochet looked better, though. That's the thing.
I don't think so. I think they both looked really good, and that's a quality of this match. That being said, can I tell you how little of a shit I give about Ilya Dragunov versus Jey Uso? I don't give a fuck. I just want
to. This finisher is weird to me. What? It's just a headbutt punch? Like what are we doing?
The H bomber. It is pretty unique. He gets the person down on the ground, gets into the far corner, runs at them, and dive bombs them forearm first, and collapses their head into the mat. Which it's meant to look like that. It's not like a dangerous move or anything.
See, I've seen it done where he does it in the middle of the ring and he just jumps up. And it called the H-bomb, but they changed it because I originally thought it was called the heart punch. And that's what it looks like he does. He jumps up. Yeah, he looks like he comes with his head. But he's kind of got his arm cocked so it doesn't look like he's fully punching the dude in the chest. But to me, it looks like he's jumping up and coming full weight with a punch right in the dude's chest or heart. And I was like, H-bomb, heart punched. That's fucking dangerous for me. I like it.
To me, the way it looks, and I don't watch NXT, the current product. I didn't watch most of his run the way that you did, Mr. Rizzo. To me, it looks like the mad scientist version of the Hidden Blade. But instead of doing it as a back shoulder, he jumps up in the air and puts his entire body into elbowing you in the face.
Yeah, because he's changed a little bit. As opposed to just jumping and doing it from the middle of the ring, he's done it off the second or the top rope, and that just looks a lot worse. But that's not even like he has a move that's similar to like the Claymore or the Brogue Kick, where he does get into the corner and he kind of is like, la! yeah, and then runs at them, and like it's like a knee to the face, or similar to like the psycho knee. I'm not exactly sure what he does, but so he has like kind of two of those where it just kind of like gets crazy and then just finishes them. Like, it's nuts.
I just I want to put it out there because you guys make it sound like I'm shitting on Ilya. I'm not.
I think they both
probably was match of Raw. Like, if you watch Raw, I'm like, this was the match to watch if you watch anything on Raw.
I think a lot. Raw slapped pretty hard for the most part, except for the aforementioned CM Punk segment. Sure. But yeah, I see that.
It was a good match. I was being hypercritical, and, you know, I may be biased, but I feel like Ricochet looked better in that match, and that's just me. That's it.
Mr. Rizzo, what say you?
You got to give me the minute just to do it, because you mentioned it. I don't think we'll get to it. The fact that you mentioned Punk, I just want to say where I've gone to this in general now. Before, I kind of just like didn't like it, and it was just like, eh, and it was sort of upsetting me. But I finally know where I am with this. If you guys remember or have seen the movie Private Parts with Howard Stern, he continues to complain about his producer called Pig Vomit. And he's always complaining about Pig Vomit, and Pig Vomit wants to get him off the air, so he's trying to see what's going on. He's looking at the numbers and wants to know the people that like Howard Stern, how much are they listening to? Well, what do they say? He's like, well, they listen for 2 hours straight, and they quote, I want to know what he has to say next. And then Pig Vomit says, well, what about the people that hate Howard Stern? How much do they listen? He goes, they listen for an average of 4 hours, and quote, they just want to hear what he has to say next. And that's where I am. He's fucking Pig Vomit. I hate everything about it, but I got to hear what he has to say next because I hate everything about the... Let's move on. That's enough. All right. Let's go. Sorry.
All right.
So Jey Uso
Mr. Rizzo had an epiphany on CM Punk. Got it.
Punk.
Jey Uso loses. What was our third match of Backlash?
Wait. I do have a thing. We have a segment. The fourth match is the women's tag match.
Is the women's title. Women's
but segment. I just want to say, and I get. This is what made me really just go, man, we don't deserve wrestling right now. Like, I was, you know, it was like, oh, they're doing an announcement or something for the attendance. And it's a French ring announcer. And he's saying it in French. And just like, I am at this point trained where I just had that this continues live next moment where I'm like, where's the what chance?
Yeah.
Like, I'm like, man, if this was in America, we'd be having the what chance right about now. Being like, what? And I was just like, oh, God, just.
Absolutely.
I hate the American crowd.
Yeah.
Anyway,
I try to identify with more of the European crowd that likes soccer, and you guys crap on me for it. It's because I hate the American crowd. Anyway.
I was thinking about that, like, debate about soccer, and I'm like, okay, I get it. Soccer is more for the crowd, not for the sport.
Why am I catching the ricochet there?
Okay, sorry, B. I don't know where your feelings in this, but
I'm very nervous about the final matches in the premiership fixtures because my Arsenal are number one, but Man City has a game in hand and I can't fucking take it. That's how I feel about football. And the quality of their opponents is much. We've got to play United, who are not at their best, but it's still Man United who love to fuck the Arsenal. That's what I think about it. Women's tag
after you, man. You baby, let's go. 3 weeks left. Anyway, let's keep going.
So the women's tag match,
it was good. There was one bad spot that is unfortunate, but I thought this match was also very cool.
I've thought it was a fine match. I had opinions about Jade in this match.
Entrevue.
Oh, okay. I was going to let Mr. Rizzo say his thing, but
I was perking up to hear these things about Jade.
I thought there were times where Jade did not sell the moves properly. Like, she looked like she was just kind of sitting there going, I'm waiting for you to do your part. Okay, now it's my turn. I'd argue it felt like a does not play well with others or cannot, like, it felt like if she was going to take offense and look like she's being hurt, she doesn't do that well with her wrestling. She does the I'm going to dominate my opponent well. But when it's like, okay, it's time for them to dominate you in this match. And she's like, whatever, hurry up so we can get to my part.
I see what you're saying. I don't think that's what's happening. What I think is
whatever I saw, yeah, I was just like, yeah. I noticed it a few times in this match and I was like, not a good look, Jade.
Well, most of her experience, which took place in rings in AEW, was her
squash matches.
They were at best glorified squash matches. And I think she just doesn't have the experience selling. There are people who tell you Seth Rollins doesn't sell either. I think they're right, but this is kind of different.
It's a little bit different.
The other thing that I think is the problem, and it's something that I noticed like right at the end, like she is so. Off air, we were talking a little bit about the IWC, the Internet Wrestling Community, and how fucking toxic they are. I think Jade is kind of in her head about a lot of this stuff, because like after the match first, like it looked like Bianca was keeping her from having a full panic attack, because there was, for those who didn't watch the show, there was a weird segment where the referee missed a tag and then forced a tag with Asuka and Kairi. And it was super awkward. It took everyone out of the match a little bit, but they got back into it. And I think that kind of fuck up was something that she doesn't have experience kind of rolling with. But I think you're right, and I think that it'll get better. But
looking at my notes, the best example I could say was the armbar that Kairi had on Jade. I get that she was trying to fight out of the armbar, but you got to put some emotion on your face, because you just look like you were doing this. And for the folks at home, I have a deadpan just being like, I'm going to hug the person, basically. Like, just like show a struggle. Be like, like grit your teeth, do something. It just looked like you're just like, I'm waiting for my chance to break out of this.
Yeah. And that's fair. I think that'll come with time.
Yeah. And I'm hoping like her inexperience. I was kind of like, oh, she wasn't getting that much experience in AEW, or at least that WWE is a different kind of wrestling she has to get used to.
I think it's going to be one of those things where we'll see, as now that she's like on the main roster and has a championship and is going to be doing house show dates, one assumes, I think we'll see that side of her game pick up a lot more, because she very clearly is working hard to try and be as good as she can.
I popped so hard for the transition into Jaded.
That was so fucking good.
It was amazing.
We shall see how much more smooth she gets into the ring over time with more reps. But if you want to do a comp with maybe someone who's done a lot less wrestling, I believe, but has also been in the performance center. I don't know. Actually, I got to look at the time. But years of doing wrestling, Tiffany Stratton has not been doing this like maybe half as long as Jade has been doing it.
Yeah,
and
but
I know she's an athletic. I'm not trying to compare the two. I'm just saying every once in a while you have someone that's natural and just goes out there.
You literally were just comparing the two.
I'm trying to finish my point.
Sorry.
Just saying that Jade will hopefully get more smooth as repetition, but there are people on the roster that just immediately show, wow, they are immediately ready without anything. But I'm not here to criticize some of that stuff. And I want to do this kind of funny and move on. I saw a meme that ties in this conversation with Mrs. Liv Morgan. And I think TVZ and RB, and this is the end of the Liv Morgan conversation. Okay? This is it. Love with this. It's
did you just say Ligma?
Liv Morgan conversation. No, I did not say anything like that. This is a Hard Pills to Swallow Liv Morgan edition. Liv Morgan is not as bad as she's made out to be by her detractors, but she's not as good as she's made out to by her fans either. We can move on now.
Well played.
There we go.
Well played.
So we've already talked about the entrances and the reaction to our main event of the evening, Cody Rhodes versus AJ Styles. What a fucking wrestling match this was.
What a honker. Was definitely worth your main event.
Selling the story, AJ Styles wearing purple and black gear, an homage to his own gear when he defeated Dusty Rhodes in a NWA World Heavyweight Championship match in the long, long ago. Cody, I'm told, was wearing a lot of white because of like Dusty's ring gear. Pretty cool. TBZ.
I liked how Cody claimed this wasn't a dream match. Because it was like this was that just the way this match worked between the two was just fantastic.
And I think there's a lot of people who would think, who might have said, like, there was every opportunity for this match to be like the AJ Nakamura match, where it's just like, oh,
yep,
this is okay.
100%.
You know, Cody is Cody and AJ is AJ. I think it, not that AJ was ever in bad shape.
AJ is the contestant. The machine is throwing at Cody to make him look good.
But he did it. Like, he looked like AJ looked good doing what he was doing. Mr. Rizzo.
Combination of the hot crowd and the fact that Stardust showed up just made it awesome.
I do find it funny how it's like AJ came out first and it felt like nobody was cheering for him. And it, like, again, reaffirmed me going, I don't like this new song. Yeah, let's not cheer him or even react. And then Cody came out and the fucking place exploded. And I was like, well, he did a nice, like, you know,
I think
comparison between the two to be like, this is what a heel gets and this is what a fucking babyface gets. And you're like, whoa.
Yes, but at the same time, the phenomenal chant that shook the camera took place after
his entrance. It happened like every 30 seconds. It's like, oh, that's, they didn't move, do the song again. It's like, oh my God, guys, take a break.
Oh, du Sacramento, Sacramento.
Yeah, I loved when they did that. God, this crowd.
So that apparently that is the thing that the commentator says, which is one, two, oh my God.
I think the one guy gave the translation to Triple H at the post presser was one, two, oh, it's still two.
It's still two.
I believe they had that. So it's Sacré Mon Dieu, which is oh my God.
Oh, okay.
Which is what I heard and what I saw reference, which is what the French commentator would say on the call in a Joey Styles like exclamation. And that they had pulled that from there, which I think is really cool. But a really solid honker of a match.
I'd argue this was match of the night on the card.
Probably, yeah, because just the quality of the wrestling was so good.
Yep.
I could, if someone wanted to tell me that they liked the tag match that was the opener better, I would say that's a matter of perspective. Take I thought that meant.
I can't remember where I read it or heard it on a podcast, so I apologize for not getting credit, but there was a thought of, like, they probably should have pulled the trigger and gave it to AJ. And I know that it... Hold on. The point was is that he finished the story. Now that he has, he's distracted by all the media and all the stuff, and then he'd win it again, maybe a little bit down the road, like, but... It was the way that
I don't agree with that.
He did a Charlotte Flair like run. He doesn't hold the belt for long, but he wins it back a bunch.
It was more of the like, well, the story was that he can't do it. It's too heavy. And now that
RB, you were calling for that before WrestleMania. You're like, I don't fucking care if he wins it and then loses it on the Raw after WrestleMania.
I would have been, yes.
That's what I'm saying. Fine. That's why that's where that comes from. That kind of a place being like, yeah, he won it. Now he can fucking lose it. We're done with this.
I wouldn't necessarily go that far. I think there's a lot of mileage in the heavy is the head that wears the crown kind of.
I think that was just for this feud.
It just worked a little bit with the tie in with him and Dusty. So like there were just enough of a little bit that they could have grabbed from that they could have made it work. I mean, I'm glad that they didn't, and we're still here with Cody as the champ. I'm just saying that the way it was portrayed, I'm like, okay, that would have been hot, if we would have thought that it was a good show, we might be mad that Cody lost the title. We would have been like, holy shit, that was amazing, and AJ won the title. That's probably how we would have looked at it.
That being said, I think there's a lot of there's still mileage in Cody's story.
Oh, totally.
And I think the big problem that I have, the thing that I am interested about in SmackDown and that I'm worried about in Raw is the same thing. Who is going to be next? On Raw, I worry about it because who's next to go against Damian Priest, because they keep, because he looks like the mid-card champion, you know, and I think they need to get, even if he's going to be like, as an example, even if he potentially is going to be, you know, losing the belt eventually to Gunther or Seth or not Seth, Drew, like, you know, there are two big events in Scotland and Germany that are coming up. So like, that's fine. I just want him to be hotter. In SmackDown's like, there are so many people, I don't know who is going to, and I want to tune in to see who is going to be the next guy to try and fight Cody. I think it's probably going to be Randy sooner or later, but I think we'll see from there. We already talked a lot about Raw. We did not talk about Sheamus versus Gunther, which is the only reason that I was kind of against saying that Ricochet versus Ilya was the best match, because man, I love watching big meaty men slapping meat and going to like 2 seconds before they came off the air.
Yeah. Yeah. Not a lot of time.
But any other thoughts about Monday Night Raw?
Yeah, I already complained about Punk. Everything else was good. I mean, it's weird that they advertised 8 matches and they only did 6, and then 2 of them that they moved, they're going to be on live shows. But hey, they gave us 6.
Who did Kofi fight for King of the Ring, or did he not have his match yet?
He was supposed to
Rey Mysterio, and they're doing it on a live show.
His promo sold me. I'm like, maybe we have a Kofi versus Gunther final in the King of the Ring.
I think Kofi and Rey are on the Gunther side of the Raw bracket. So I loved Kofi's promo. I was sold American. I've got like, I am buying into this. I'm also kind of upset that as a fan of Shayna Baszler, having Shayna and the current Queen of the Ring, Zelina Vega, being kicked to the house show is kind of upsetting, but we'll see. I'm sure we'll see clips of it and the story will progress next week.
Just to take this somewhere else real quick, sir. Do you think in the future, sorry, we won't really get into this, but like, if they do stuff like this, like a year from now when they're on Netflix, do you think like house shows and stuff like that will just randomly show up on the network so we could see them and like see the whole match later? Or I don't know. Not too much to chew into, just a thought. We'll get to that some other time.
I mean, we might see the different Peacock and the other networks are different than what the WWE network was. Like, we would get the occasional, like there was the Japan show. Well,
these are live events. I just meant like how Netflix, I wouldn't say is similar to YouTube, but the fact that they're doing live TV now and the fact that you're using a streaming service to just get up and get, they can just throw a ton of stuff on Netflix that's available. I don't know if it would be that kind of thing. That's all I meant.
I'm not sure.
Take this a different way.
As far as I'm aware, the Netflix deal is specifically for Raw. I don't know. There's a lot of question marks about how the current Peacock integration with the former WWE network is going to resolve.
There's a lot of unknowns. We'll get to that down the road. We got some time. Sorry to step in that for a second. But yeah, where are we moving to?
I believe it's time for AEW. We've gone through the entire pay-per-view. We've talked about Raw, King and Queens, you know, happening and whatnot.
So we are going to go to Edmonton, Alberta, Canada, home of the Oilers and of this week's Dynamite. I enjoyed this show.
Yeah, it was a fine episode. I felt like I came around a bit more on the learning tree gimmick.
Yeah, it's kind of good.
I said that 2 weeks ago, guys. I said I was here for Jericho. I said it's going to work.
I know. Listen. And the thing is, like, I've been listening to other, like, you know, Russell talk and other people. And I'm like, guys, like, yeah, we think that they made some missteps with Jericho, but this is actually working, which is great.
Yeah, it's like what Mr. Rizzo's been saying. It's just, it's over the top. It's gimmicky. It's just hokey, and you're like, you know, you like it. You hate to love it, or do you love to hate it? I don't know. Either way, it's just, you're just like, it's Jericho doing Jericho, but God damn it, I respect the man. And again, I can't get over the,
I am the learning tree.
I don't know if this is a good
enough. I had to rewind it. So it happened like just as it came back from commercial, I like missed it by like 5 seconds. I'm like, no, I got to hear this. I rewound it with listen through. And then I messaged you guys. I'm like, wow, I'm glad they found somebody that can overshadow Jericho even when he stands in front of him. Yeah. So even when he's doing his stupid, everybody look at me, and they're like, they're looking at that fucking giant behind you.
So great. Is Chris Jericho just like McDonald's? Like every once in a while you just want it and it's okay and it's good, but for the most part, like, yeah. Oh, I don't know if I should be doing this right now.
I should stop eating this.
Is that it? Is that the analogy?
I mean, I'm sure
Jericho is a sometimes food.
Yes.
Sometimes food.
And that sometimes is now.
I thought it was really funny that he was like, hey, Hook's coming back. I love that guy.
I know you had to take a minute to chew on some of the knowledge you got from the learning tree. I was just like, oh my God, he's so full of himself.
The other thing I really want to put over, and I know that this man is probably the biggest heat magnet in wrestling next to Dominic Mysterio.
Oh, I thought it was Dominic Mysterio.
I fucking love Don Callis on commentary. He is so fucking good.
I love everyone's reaction to him. They're like, Jesus, what the hell are you still doing here?
I will pose a question to you gentlemen about something that Don Callis is doing, and I think it's splitting people down the middle. What do you feel with Don Callis and Orange Cassidy?
It's super interesting. I kind of want to talk about how
I hate it because I thought he was going for Trent, and then they're like OC, and I was like, well, no, wait, that's perfect for Trent. He's doing this heel thing, so have him beat OC, and they'd be like, what do you think about joining the family?
I think it's interesting because Don Callis is specifically targeting like high risers who aren't in the middle of something. Like he's like, because Trent's definitely the heel right now. But if you're talking about who is the bigger act, it's definitely Orange Cassidy. So it makes sense to want to go after Orange Cassidy. Whether it makes sense for Orange to ever listen to him is another thing altogether. I think it might turn out to be that you end up with like, through this whole schmoz that Trent ends up going, and maybe even Trent and Rocky bringing Roppongi 3K into the Don Callis family. But I think it's super interesting because it's different and it's not what you would expect. Mr. Rizzo.
I just realized, and I didn't think about it until we stopped here to think about the whole situation. I was just like, I kind of like it because it's different. I always was like, hey, something with Orange Cassidy, of him being like a babyface and maybe Orange Cassidy turning heel is something different. But I'm going to go the other way. Hobbs is out and he's injured. And Don Callis is, who else has he got in the family that's like big, bad, nasty guy?
Will Ospreay.
Yeah, that's not a big, bad, nasty guy. We kind of love him.
Kenosuke Takeshita.
Okay, everybody.
Yeah, that guy.
Okay. So, I mean, it's not out of the realm of possibility, but I was like, are they trying to turn Don face with Cassidy and Will Ospreay?
No, they're not.
But either way, I don't know where we're going. I'm here for it. We'll see what eventually happens with those two. That's where I'm at. I know some people are like, I don't know if I like this. And I'm like, I'm not sure either. Let's see where it goes.
The thing I wanted to... So I am very happy that they finally resolved why has the Mogul Embassy not been helping Swerve Strickland. But God damn it. Treating Swerve like a regular babyface doesn't work for me. It doesn't work for me, playa. I don't want to see Swerve get the shit kicked out of him by the entire patriarchy, by Christian's whole family. And then have to eat shit at the hands of the Mobile Embassy. Like, the thing about Swerve Strickland is he's cool. and he's vicious. Like,
so he can be vicious next week after he just got attacked, and he's going to be like, "You didn't want to do that. That was a mistake, boys."
I guess. I am genuinely hoping we get a video where he goes back to Nick Wayne's house and beats the fuck out of Nick Wayne again in his own house.
It almost seems like it's going to be a minute before we get to that, because he's going to have to fight Brian Cage first.
All I'm going to say is do you want this man to, what, lose the belt in a couple of weeks, or do you want him to reign for a bit? Because he's got to, you know, I thought it was a breath of fresh air, because I was like, Swerve, you're not going to be able to maintain this championship reign if you're going to, like, go balls to the walls like this every time.
But that's how you win a match. Like, that, I get what you're saying. I don't know. Swerve was like the coolest, hottest thing like 2 months ago, and now it just feels like he's not as cool and impressive, and that makes me feel bad.
Yeah, we'll see. I mean, he just got the title a couple weeks ago, and we immediately put him down with a few other people he hasn't messed with for a bit, and it's just not maybe the angle or the group we thought he was going to tangle with first. So it's just different, and we'll see where we get to that with him. But I can understand where you're at with the reservations there, RB.
Yeah.
About maybe of, hey, that's I'm not just what not, I want him to do. I'm not in that camp. I want him to do something else.
That's fair.
I got you.
Yeah.
Everything to do with Kenny, though. Kenny having to do the spot from the hospital bed. That was great. That was good. That
I
was
love fun. That.
He did a good job. I do like how they're positioning him as a manager and not a wrestler. Because, like I said last week, that was my big concern, is I felt like they were going to be like, he's going to wrestle through it. And I'm like, no. Oh. Like, every time you're going to potentially die.
I'm really enjoying the dichotomy. Like, it could, like, so Tony Khan has been written off. He can't travel, and thank God he's not going to be on TV anymore.
You take a Khan bomb and you ain't going nowhere.
Just to the NFL draft, not selling the injury, just where it's fine. It's fine. Woosa. I do like the dynamic of there are heel EVPs who are making matches and doing things in favor of the heels, and Kenny is making matches in favor of the faces to get under their skin. I like that dichotomy. Honestly, at Double or Nothing, I know they're probably going to finish with the Anarchy at the Arena match, so it won't be an easy transition. But I would really love if the press conference after Double or Nothing is run by the Young Bucks instead of like
that would be great.
Like, I would pop so fucking hard for the two of them being behind that table. That.
What would be or then better, after? No, what would be even better would be to have Tony Khan start it and then the Bucks kick him out and finish the press conference
or
without.
What about reverse? Have the Bucks start it and then Tony Khan come in and be like, "Yo, I'm back."
I don't want to see.
Okay. I struck a nerve. I don't fucking care. I was just playing with the idea. Holy crap.
I listen, I am incredibly appreciative for all the work and all the money that Tony has invested into pro wrestling. And I don't think that the WWE would be doing the cool shit they're doing today if they didn't have a real competitor in AEW going against them. I don't need Tony Khan on TV fucking ever. End of statement. But I'm really excited about how a lot of this is going. What did you guys think of the wrestling main event? Because there were two more segments after it of Adam Copeland defending the TNT title in
the Cope Open.
The Cope Open against Brody King.
It was tough to get into because the promo that they have for it was Malakai Black talking shit, getting ready for that match that's going to happen next. Okay, well, I think I know how the next one's going to go, so I'll be here for it. But, like, how are they going to have the big guy lose? That was kind of how I was looking at
it. I'm going to push back on that, though. But, I mean, like, you've watched a ton of matches that we know the outcome for, but you still watch them, and they're great.
That's what I said. Like, I'm going into them, like, how are they going to have the big guy take a loss? Like, because I don't think Brody King should really lose to anybody.
Like, that's true.
I mean, him and, you know what they should do with how much he's been losing? They should put him and Archer in a match and just see if they it's possible for one of them to get away.
No, they it's a draw due to time limit.
Go 60-minute draw. You're so right. No one's going to get a win.
The thing that kind of bugged me about this match, and it was, you know, it was mostly good. The Malakai Black promo was fucking hard as hell.
Oh, that awesome. It was great.
It was a great promo. Yeah, so it just undermined this as the main event.
That's what I meant. I was like, I can't wait to see this Malakai Black match.
Do not take this as me somehow coming around on Darby Allin. However, this felt like a Darby Allin match, not a Adam Copeland match. Because it's just that Adam Copeland was playing Darby Allin, getting fucked up by... It was just, whew. It was super cool. It was a shocking moment when he comes up from underneath and he's absolutely a sheet of blood running down his face. Yeah. I don't need that every week. You know, it's not, you know, I've gone into great detail how sick and tired I was of Jon Moxley bleeding.
No complaint from me here, man. I was saying that 2 weeks ago.
But man, I just. It's cool and it works, and I just I'm just exhausted.
I'll say this. It's weird to me that they're having Adam Copeland do this cope open for his, like, I get that that's just the rule set he's putting on his match. It just, like, I was thinking about this. It's like, okay, do the match that you do just all the time now. And it just reminded me, like, how the House of Black, you know, they do that. And it seems like everybody's got to have these specialized rules. It made me think of, like, it's almost like this is like the tattoo of wrestling, where it was like, okay, before it was cool and unique when somebody had a tattoo. But now we're to the point where everybody's got a tattoo and it's more unique and stuff to not have tattoos. Meaning everybody has their own rule sets for all their matches. Be like, well, I'm the champion. Now I'm just going to do my rule set or insert whatever, you know, catchphrase here for my rule set. And that's what we're going to do for this one now.
I don't think it's so much that for the most part he has his own rule set. It's just that he has an open challenge that he defends against whoever. And this week they happen to do basically a House of Black, like a black.
I thought they're always an Extreme Rules match, though.
They're not. They did it specific.
No, oh, I thought that's what the Cope Open meant. My bad.
No. It's like the same thing when John Cena came back to be the U.S. champion. And, like, it was like just a cool thing.
It's like,
oh,
the
hey.
Never open weight belt or whatever.
Yeah. It's just him being, you know.
Never mind. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm sorry for wasting all your time, honkers. We can get back to the show.
No. It's fine. Listen, I'm happy that Adam Copeland is in AEW and that he's doing his thing. I don't give a shit about him being TNT champion. I gave a shit about him versus Christian. I'm hoping that Malakai Black's going to win the championship, even though there's a lot of rumors that Malakai Black's just waiting out his contract to go back to WWE. It is whatever. I don't care about Adam Copeland at all. It's just a nostalgia pop for me at this point. And it's not that he can't wrestle. He can wrestle fine.
That's why he's here. Let's be real. That's why AEW brought him around. But no, I hear you. Adam Copeland's reign is, to me, how you felt about Cody, how I referenced that earlier, where it was like, yeah. I'm glad he won the belt, but like now I'm cool with him just dropping it and doing whatever. Riding off into the sunset, doing something else, feuding with Kyle O'Reilly. I don't know, man. Just whatever. Like, I was going to be like, oh no, he lost the belt. I'd be like, yeah, it's good to see him.
Maybe he'll lose it to someone and elevate them, like a Danny Garcia, who he still kind of knows.
You got me. You just made me think of how I got worked when they were doing the whole, like, who's FTR's two opponents going to be in this match? And I'm sitting here in my office as I'm watching that. I'm like, oh my God, it's Will Ospreay. It's Will Ospreay. Guys, they're doing Aussie Open. It's Will Ospreay. And then Eddie Kingston. And I was like, ugh. Worked myself up on this. I'm sorry, Eddie.
Yeah, I was glad. I was Bryan Danielson came back from his neck injury.
Oh, he's alive! That's good to know! What the...
Hey! I was here for it. I thought it was like,
It was a nice surprise. I think it's going to be interesting if they do anything with the... They just had a grudge match because Bryan Danielson hates Eddie Kingston, but now we respect him. I hope that's part of the angle. I'm mostly glad that it wasn't Briscoe who came out, because I'm like, just stay in our
room. I thought it was going. I thought it was Briscoe.
And then I would have liked Briscoe over Danielson.
I didn't think about it till now, but like, we never seen Danielson wrestle with the Bucks, so that's cool.
That is interesting. Cool. Have we seen Danielson since his injury?
No.
This is the first time he's back. Okay. All right. Yeah. Then my opinion still stands. I was just like, oh, glad to see you're alive.
And I guess that's what the purpose was. Like, he was a surprise. I certainly didn't expect him to be that person who walked out.
Just with the injury I thought he had, he might be gone for a bit more. That's all.
But yeah, I thought it was a fine AEW Dynamite.
Indeed.
Bunch of cool matches.
Some good storylines being pushed.
Yeah. Serena Deeb, really bad promo. Felt really bad for her.
Yeah, because I kind of like her thing, like her aesthetic, the matches that she was in. And I don't know. Serena Deeb kind of feels like how Roman Reigns was to me when I first started watching. When I first started watching, this is like 2017, everybody hated him. And I watched him like, I don't see what the big deal is. He seems fine to me. He's got the ooh-ah, you know, like everybody loves that, but everybody hates him. And it's just like, that's how I feel about Serena Deeb. It's
fault.
Yeah. Well, that's how I feel about Serena Deeb. It's like, she's great in the ring. Like, I don't hate anything about her, but everybody just is like, boo. And I'm like.
I thought her outfit was the best that she's actually looked.
Yeah, she looked great.
I was like, she looks awesome. And I know how great she's been in the ring. I think that she hasn't, like, stolen anybody's, like, view off. Like, oh, I got to see her when she's just immediately on the mic. Like, she just needs some little more presence of, like, but when she's wrestling. And I'm who with it. I'm here. I'm ready.
Or maybe a mouthpiece. I don't know.
Yeah.
I thought her promo, like, the purpose of the promo was to sell why it's important to her that she's going for this championship and talk about the time that she spent away because she had a very dangerous health condition.
Yeah, I don't know what their obsession with this one in particular doing it live was. They should have had it of her sitting down with Tony in the back or even like JR or something. If it's that emotional that you're talking about the seizures, be real with it. Make sure it's the perfect take. You're not stuttering on or stepping on your words at all. And then just have Tony show up and hit her in the face. And then or confront her and she can hit her in the face. But because it was live, it just didn't seem like it worked as well. So
Tony getting that cheap heat, though, saying she doesn't give a shit about her seizures.
I think the purpose of doing it like that is so that you can have Serena Deeb deck her in front of the crowd and have Tony sell it that hard.
Oh, that was great. Like Luther's picking her up and she's still dead.
I still think they could have done it as a tape segment, and I think they could have made it look better. But I understand why they did it.
Here's my current problem with Tony Storm. I love Tony Storm. I love this character. They don't know how to fucking book her.
What?
Because she is so over, and they flip-flop on whether they're going to try and make her get over as a heel or let her be a face. They do the same thing. It's Mariah May has the same problem, and it's the same exact problem they had with Britt Baker when Britt was the AEW Women's World Champion, where she was the most over woman in the company, and everyone, even like she's being a heel, she does heel shit. She's got Rebel and Jamie and later Jamie Hayter backing her up and doing heel shit to help her win, but everyone wants to cheer her because she's the best wrestler in the company.
Well, I don't know. I see Tony as the heel all the way and Mariah May kind of foiling that somewhere, and then they're just being another person in the mix that might cause it with Mina. So I'm kind of, I think they're straight of her going, bad guy, bad guy, bad guy, Deeb, good guy, so I'm bad guy. Yeah, I don't know. That's I don't know. I never saw anything different. I didn't really know.
But none of the baby faces get over. Like,
because they don't win the championship. They're not supposed to, like, get over her yet. If they overcome her and knock her down, maybe.
But they're not gaining anything. Like, Deonna Purrazzo is no better off now than she was before that program.
I disagree.
Thunder Rosa is no better off.
I disagree. I think they're both a little bit more elevated than when they both showed up. We hadn't seen Thunder Rosa wrestle in a while, and we got a good rivalry and a good her going after the title. And we got her messing with Deonna Purrazzo outside of the title. Like, we got a little thing with the two of them. I'm happy with them and what they're doing outside there. I think we just got a long-term storyline going with Tony, Mariah May, Mina, and it's a slow play all the way through. I don't really notice much that I'm upset with anything. I don't think they're slow playing much. I think it's right pace. I'm cool with all of it. But hey, it's the subjective art form.
Yeah, absolutely.
But let's see. Did I have anything else about AEW?
I think it's time for some housekeeping, Mr. Rizzo, as you pointed out in our chat here.
Yes, there's a couple things I got to mention about our draft. My brother pointed out that TBZ definitely dropped the ball with the name of his promotion. You know, Brian's could have came up with a cooler one too. You talk about big boys slapping meat all the time. I would have liked BBW or Big Boy Wrestling. That would have been pretty cool. But TBZ was right there for you. WTFP. Not what the fuck, prick, but Wag the Finger Promotions. It was there. WTFP.
Well, I went with the currently existing TBZ School of Wrestling.
It's still
good. It's always in session.
But I like the nobody has it like WTFP. It's just, you can just do WTF, wag the finger. That's just, you're going to print money with that logo.
It would be WTF Productions.
Yeah, WTFP. I think you'd make money with that. But I don't think we got a lot of people, but we put a poll out to see which members of the Honk If You Love Wrestling podcast had the better roster of our draft last week.
Big win for Mr. Rizzo.
67% of the vote, baby. That's how it is.
Congratulations on your victory. I still think that
you thought your volume was going to beat us up because you had numbers. But no, my star power is going to take it, even though I don't have my favorite wrestler.
I can't believe that Jey Uso beat Finn Balor. That's what happened.
Yeah. That's what happened.
That match happened on Raw, and that's why can't you?
He's done it three other times.
Oh.
That's right, RB. It's time for the toe pay. It's our toe pay suicide moment of the week.
Where we look ahead to something in the wrestling world that you should check out. Yeah. I was trying to pull up my tope, so I had all the details on it. And then
I'll take the reins here first and saying that my tope is the King of the Ring tournament, more specifically Kofi Kingston, because of what I said earlier. We'll be watching your progression through this tournament very closely, Mr. Kingston.
I will go into the SmackDown bracket and, especially with Bubbles out of the picture, I want to see exactly what we're going to see from Tama Tonga. Tonga truck.
That is, I'm kind of excited for that. I'm excited
straight to the final.
Those guys. I am going to look ahead to May 18th. In May 18th in Buffalo, New York at the Riverworks, Empire State Wrestling is throwing a Brawl Fest 2024. And I just want to just run down the card real quick of Tommy K versus Nick Aldo, Vinnie Moon and Will Kerisian versus Frankie Feathers and Randy P.
Ooh, Feathers!
Self-proclaimed ESW heavyweight champion Bill Collier versus Channing Decker. ESW championship. I don't know what happened with him and
Vince Valor.
No, not Vince Valor. Who was the? Oh my God! Why am I going the inspiration? Gregory Irons. Remember, he won the cup and he had won it. And I didn't see the last two shows, so I'll get filmed in on the 18th. But we got a tag team championship. I saw they announced a scramble match with like seven or eight guys. I'm not sure if it's like a rumble or if it's like a battle royale or something like that. They are going to crown the first ever ESW Women's Champion. Adina Steele versus Christina Marie. Katie Arquette versus Haley Dillon. And my bet is Christina Marie is going to take the title. But we all know why TBZ is going to the show. Because he wants to walk with Elijah. And is making his ESW debut. And that is going to be fun. We are going to walk with Elijah. And yeah, what was with the crying laugh emoji when I put out a promo or put out the advertisement that he was doing a little like a seminar with some fans? Like, I saw some laughter on that one. Like, that's legitimate. You're in wrestling, spend your money, get some experience from him.
No, I took that as you going, okay, why don't you give some legitimacy to the TBZ School of Wrestling?
No.
I was laughing at that. I was like, you got me. All right, son of a bitch.
I don't have the time at the moment, but that would be something that even though I'm not a wrestler, I wonder if I could just pay it, go and listen to the seminar because I think I would enjoy it. And I'd pay the money to support him, and I think I'd enjoy the show.
It would be fun to do, for sure.
But like, I wouldn't get in there to actually do anything physical. I'd be like, no. You got my money. I'm good. I don't want to do anything.
I'm here to watch.
No, I'm just observe and report. No. I'm good. I'm
paying for the bonus show.
Yes. I don't think they'll be mad. It's more people paying them money. So, hey, maybe not. But, yeah, that's what I'm looking forward to. May 18th, I got VIP tickets. I guess it's the balcony, and it's also got – like not bottle service, but they got
make some room. I'm coming to visit.
All right.
Time for the Blitz. Thank you, Honkers, for coming along on this ride. Check us out on formerly known as Twitter, aka X.com, under the moniker of @WrestlingHonks. Also, the same moniker under Blue Sky, YouTube, TikTok, and Instagram under Honk If You Love Wrestling.
Don't forget Flim Flam.
And tell us where we can be found via email.
Hit us up at honkifyoulovewrestling@gmail.com. Send us your old school mail. Let's hear what you have to say.
If you want to get on the show, if you have something that you'd like us to talk about, send us an email, let us know, and we can work something out either where we talk about it or maybe we get you on the show as a special guest and you can talk about it with us as well.
And as always, if you like the show, please like, thumbs up us on whatever podcatcher you use. Spotify, especially, every heart, every follow, every download is helpful for these here honkers. But until next time, we will bid you adieu. Goodbye and good honk.
We.
You're not going to like this. I think that he should have gone away for a long time. And then long time being 2 weeks, and then he comes back with a mustache as Kenny Ortega.
Fuego 2?
Kenny Ortega.
Kenny Ortega.
And he wrestles for MLLL with the mask.
Yep.
And then somehow we have to figure out someone that looks just like him. Ooh, and he has to face.
His mask has so a mustache on it.
So we get Ortega versus Omega. Yes. Sorry, that's where my brain was going. I just had to let it all out. Let's stay focused again. Sorry. I don't know why my brain did something.
No, so that was that's great. Like that. That's good after show, after credits content.
Kenny Ortega.